what you feel like you need to do anytime.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. We thank the Lord to be back here at Taylorsville Camp Meeting. We do not take this opportunity and privilege lightly. I was thrilled and amazed the first time he asked me to do this. And I am as thrilled and amazed the 23rd time I'm doing this. I do not take it lightly. I count it a real joy to be here these days. It is in my heart in these morning services, if the Lord would allow us, I'd like to look at a little phrase that our Lord said five times while he was here upon the earth, four times while he was here during his three-year ministry, and once after his ascension. And it is the little phrase, be of good cheer. Amen. Cheer up. The little phrase has the idea of get your chin up. Get your eyes on me. I have not been as moved about what he said as I have been about when he said it. I don't know that I would have said it to the people he said it to. Because every time he says it, they're in the dark hour of the soul. They have lost all hope. They have lost all confidence. The referee is doing the count on them. You pinned. You done. And he comes along and says, cheer up! I got this. So I'd like to take this little phrase this morning. I'd like to begin in Matthew chapter number 9. And I'd like to preach on the cure for the dark hour of the soul. I know you may have never been there before, but you just make yourself a note, she's on the way. God's going to cut the lights all on you. You say, bless God, I'll never lose confidence in God. It's on the way, hon. You'll wonder if you ever knowed him at all. You'll wonder if he ever knowed you at all. Lose confidence. And he'll have the audacity. He'll have the intestinal fortitude. We call that guts down in Georgia. To slip up beside you and say, cheer up! I got this. Amen. I want to begin because this is the first time he says it. And I find that in this text here, that it is the cure for the dark hour of iniquity. I don't know how dark it might get between here and the graveyard. But if you're saved this morning, there has never been a darker time in your life than when you were in sin. Everything else pales in comparison to where he found you and brought you out of. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter number 9, and he entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Could I stop right there? Mention that little word palsy. Very interesting word. It means to lose all muscle tone. You can't move nothing. It also, the little Greek word, means to lose all sensitivity to feeling. You can't feel nothing. That's the way I was when God came to me. I had spiritually lost all muscle tone. I couldn't come to him. I had lost all sensitivity to sin. I didn't know what was right. I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know that I was sinning against the holy God. Matter of fact, I can identify with that old songwriter that said, years I spent in vanity and pride. I was wondering this morning, let's put a number on it. For me, 20 years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. This old boy's in bad shape. Can't move nothing. Has no sense of touch at all. The Bible says in verse 2, and Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, can you believe this? This old boy's down for the count. Son, cheer up. Thy sins be forgiven thee. As we begin to unpack this text, I am drawn to the agreement in this dark hour. I notice there is an agreement of purpose. I did not know if you noticed it or not. The Bible tells us that he does not heal this boy and forgive his sins based on his faith. How come? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. He didn't have none. He does it based on their faith. That's what the text says. I'm not reading it into it. He said, seeing their faith. Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning if some of you would get together in agreement about some old, I'm talking about down for the count. Preachers, there's no need of praying for them. They're gone. Maybe some of you would get together and agree together and begin. I believe I read this somewhere in the Bible that if any two would agree on anything and touch it, he said he'd do it. Wow. You know, I come from a mom and dad. They were in the soul winning business. They would talk to anybody, anywhere, anyhow about bringing them to Jesus. I grew up in that. And matter of fact, the last 30 years of their life, they spent their entire days doing nothing but witnessing. For 15 years, my daddy sat on a park bench behind the Pancake House in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 8 hours a day. And whoever sat down on that little seat, he'd tell them about Jesus. I couldn't help but want to tell somebody about Jesus. I remember my mama just died in April, and I remember shortly before she died, the hospice chaplain called me on the telephone, and he says, I want to give you a report on your mama. He did. We talked a little while. He was a Catholic priest. He was a chaplain with hospice, pastored a Catholic church there in Brandon, Florida. And I said, before you hang up, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, if you was to die today, where would you go? He started laughing on the other end of the phone. I didn't think it was funny. I said, what are you laughing at? He said, I was chuckling at what you asked me. He said, the first time I ever met your mama, he said, she didn't know me from Adam's house cat. She didn't even know my name. He said, the first words to come out of her mouth, she asked me, she said, you know where you're going when you die? Well, we both laughed together. The laugh was over, and I said, well, by the way, where are you going when you die? Oh, he gave me the stock Catholic answer about the sacraments and about Mary. I said, Mary won't help you. She needs a Savior herself. You better get in the blood. Amen. They have made an agreement. And I notice not only the purpose of the agreement, I see the agreement of the person. Did you notice what verse 2 said? They said that they brought him to Jesus. They did not bring him to a Baptist church. That more than likely will hurt them worse than help them. Huh? you better get them to him. He's the only help that there is. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you would agree on some folks that you know? You know, like that old gal down there at Starbucks. She's got that hair pink, and everything that she ain't got tattooed, she's got it pierced. Wouldn't it be wonderful if two or three of you get together and we're going to agree, we're going to pray heaven down on her? I'm talking about the agreement in this dark hour of iniquity. But I see also not only the agreement in this dark hour of iniquity, I notice the announcement in this dark hour of iniquity. I notice there is an announcement that changes. The Bible says in verse 2, before he says, cheer up, be of good cheer, he says a little word that will knock your socks off if you was to ever get a hold of it. He's standing over top of this boy. This boy can't move nothing. He has no sense of touch. And he says, son, wow. That term there in the original language is a term of intimacy between a father to his child. And it is you, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. It is always said in an adoption situation. Wow. My word. This old boy can't do nothing. And Jesus has said, I want you. I know several of you here this morning. I know your story, that you came from an adopted situation. What a thrill you've got. Your mom and daddy picked you. You that have natural born parents, they had to take what they could get. Wow. We ought to stop right there and all of us run around the building. This is yes. This is no. This is I don't know. Do you know that you've been adopted by a holy God? Wow. He didn't take what he could get. He knowed you were a mess when he got you. He said, I still want you anyhow. The announcement that changes. But I notice not only the announcement that changes, I notice the announcement that causes. He says, son, be of good cheer. He tells this boy, get your chin up. He said, put your eyes on me. This little boy has got one little small problem. It's just a minor detail for God. He can't do what he's asked him to do. He has no ability to do this. No muscle tone. He has asked him to do what he can't do. Boy, it seemed like to me God's going to have to do it for him. The announcement that causes this little word, be of good cheer. Not only does it have the idea of keep the chin up, but it has the idea of turning the eyes towards me, focusing in on me, keeping your eyes on me. Announcement that causes. Could I look further in this text? It only gets bigger from here on out. I notice not only the agreement in this dark hour. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you would quit talking about being a soul winner and start doing it? Huh? I was wondering this morning, I thought about it, but I won't do it. I thought about having every Baptist preacher in here that's got any gospel tracts in their pocket to stand up. Wow, that would have cleared the air, wouldn't it? My daddy told me never to go anywhere without bullets in my pocket. Are you listening to me this morning? Talking about aggressively seeking to get sinners to Jesus. An announcement in the dark hour. The agreement. But I see in our text the absolution for the dark hour. You say, gracious, that's an awful big word to come up here to these Carolina mountains and throw out. Absolution. The little word absolution defined means a judge declaring one to be totally innocent of sins, liability, punishment, and all charges. You're looking at an old boy this morning that is not on parole. I have been pardoned. If you're on parole this morning and mess up, you got to go back to the beginning and start all over. If I mess up, I'm still going. Wow. You know, I didn't realize it. 1968, before I got saved, God been telling me that absolution deal for a long time. I hadn't been listening to him. I come from a godly family. Mom and dad were missionaries. I remember in 1968 seeing the jail cell close on me. I was facing 10 years in state prison in Alexandria, Virginia. Wow. Old judge up there took a liking to me. I don't know why. A lot of people don't like me. I'm a likable fellow, though. The judge took a liking to me, and he told me, he said, if you'll go back to your hometown in Portsmouth, Virginia, and join the Army. We're talking about the Vietnam conflict. Join the Army. He said, I'll wipe your slate clean, make it look like you ain't never been in jail. I said, wow, 10 years, 3 years in the Army. I went back to Portsmouth, Virginia, and I joined the Army. And I remember going to the recruiter. The first thing he asked me to do, he said, we need to fill out a police report on you. Ruh-roh. First question at the top of the page, have you ever been arrested or locked up for any legal matter? Wow, that was real clear. I remember what that judge told me, though, and I checked no. That second question said, have you ever been fingerprinted in any legal matter while being arrested? I remember the night when the black ink was on my fingers. I remember what that judge told me, and I checked no. 2 or 3 days later, when I was in there, he came and he says, I got your police report back. Real snarly. I said, uh-oh, my past has finally caught up with me. He turned around, smiled real big. He said, you got a squeaky clean past, don't you? Holy Ghost began to whisper to me. He said, I could do that for you. I could wipe your slate clean. I could forgive you for all your sins. And he said, I won't put you on parole either. That's what we do with Baptists when we get them saved. We put them on parole. We watch them. He don't parole anybody. If he saves them, he pardons them. I love that, don't you? Watch the text. Not only is absolution defined, but I see absolution declared. He says in verse number 2, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are... I did not know if you'd see that S or not. Whenever there's an S on a Bible word, that means all of them. The ones you did in the past, the ones you're doing right now, and the ones you ain't never done yet. He said they're forgiven. Wow. That little word forgiven means to carry away to the deepest part of the sea. It means to totally disregard. It means to totally die to have no more existence in your life.
Amen.
The Lord told me this a few days ago, and I like to have a spell. I was thinking about, because I know some of you, the Holy Ghost ain't never convinced you that all your sins are gone. Because I don't believe if he had ever convinced you of that, you would not sit there and do this with me this morning. I remember in the mid-1970s sitting in my study in Athens, Georgia, on the University of Georgia campus when he first convinced me that all my sins were gone. I like to have tore the study apart. Now, I realize that some of you are pretty good old boys. You only had one or two. It's not a big thing to put in a pile, but I had a world full of them. But he told me not long ago, and it just thrilled me to death. He says, I have so forgiven you that I don't even know the fellow that you used to be. He says, I have so changed my image of you. He said that I've even give you a new name. He said, I've got it written in a white stone. And he said, when you get there, he said, I don't know you by Tom anymore. I just know you by your new name. That's a cure for the dark hour of iniquity. Huh? I'm talking about the absolution for this dark hour. I see also in our text not only the agreement, the announcement, the absolution, but I see the awareness from this dark hour. There is the awareness of purpose. The awareness of purpose. The Bible says in verse number 1, and he entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his... Came where? To his own city. He's come to his hometown. The world's he want to come there for. He says in another text, he says, a man has no honor too much in his hometown. And he says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. I don't know if you can get this or not. He didn't do too many miracles, but he found 4 believers there. Huh? I'm talking about the purpose of awareness. I tell you, God's judgment on America will not be because what's going on out there. God's judgment on America will be because of what's going on in here. Do you remember when it rained hail fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah? Some of you thought it's because of them old Sodomites. Finally wiped them out. They come out of the closet, we'll get them. You better go back and study that text. He didn't wipe Sodom and Gomorrah out because of sodomizing. He wiped it out because he couldn't find 10 righteous people down there. He'll not wipe America out because of sodomy and abortion. He's going to wipe America out because he can't find no righteous people. Are you listening to me this morning? Old J.C. Ryle said that most of the world's people think everybody, for the most part, is going to heaven when they die. J.C. Ryle said it's clear from the Bible that most people are going to hell when they die. Wow. I'm talking about the purpose of awareness. But I see also in our text the perception of awareness. He says in verse number 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves. Now they're thinking. They're not going to let their thoughts out. They're thinking to themselves. They said, this man's blaspheming. Who in the world does he think he is can forgive sin? Later on in another passage, they said, there ain't nobody can forgive sin but God. He must think he's God. Watch the text. They're thinking now to themselves. I love this. I hate to even show it to you because it might scare you. Verse 4 says, and Jesus, what? He said he knowed what they were thinking. Isn't that scary this morning? You're sitting on holy ground at camp meeting and you're thinking you wish that I'd shut up and get done so you could go eat. And he knows what you're thinking. He could slap you in the middle of the week looking both ways for Sunday. You listening to me this morning? Talking about the perception of awareness. I close the authority over the dark hour. I noticed that he had spiritual authority. He says, thy sins, plural. You say, preacher, I don't know. Because you know, when I first saw that truth, I remember sharing that with a fundamental pre-trib King James only fire-breathing Baptist there in our hometown. And he called me a heretic. He says, there's no way God would take all your sins away at one fatal swoop. Well, I believe it with all my heart. You say, I could go along with past sins. I might even go along with present sins. But the sins I ain't even committed yet. I'm going to ask you a question. All of you, for the most part, know that I did horrible in school in English. That's why I was in the 10th grade 3 times. But I did remember this. This is yes. This is no. This is I don't know. Do you believe when Jesus died on Calvary's tree that he took your sin upon him? This would be the appropriate answer. What verb tense was your sins in at that moment? Were they not all in a future tense? I love that, don't you? Took them all away. You say, well, how does that operate? You know, the first time I thought about the Lord saving me, I thought about that song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, loose all their guilty stains. I thought he just dipped me in that blood and took me out. But I have found since then that ain't true. He stuck me in that blood bath and left me. And it just keeps on washing them away. Huh? He did what is scientifically impossible for me. He took my black heart. He put it in his red blood and made me whiter than snow. I love that, don't you? The authority over spiritual things. There's the authority over physical authority. You remember, he has asked this old boy to do something he can't do. But I believe, with all them sins being forgiven, because that's all that boy's living with now is his thoughts, his sins. I can't help but believe he's laying there on that bed and he begins to feel a twinge. And then this capstone, he says to him in verse 6, arise. That little word there is a term of resurrection. As Brother Bird said to us, he reached in that death world and brought him into the life world. Arise. Amen. Take up your bed. Keep your chin up. I love this. Look at verse 7. And 3 days later, he arose and departed to his house. Doesn't say that in the Living Bible. Right away, he got up and went to the house, talking for the cure of the dark hour of the soul. I don't care what darkness will come in upon you between here and the grave. It'll never be as dark as when he saved your soul. The Old Testament saints, when they were ever in a dark hour of the soul, they would often lift their chin and sing a song. I was thinking about old Squire Parson's song, "The Gulf That Separated Me from Christ, My Lord." It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. I cried, "Dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are." He came to me. When I was bound in chains of sin, he came to me. When I possessed no hope within, he picked me up and drew me gently to his side. And in his sweet love, I now abide. He came to me. Oh, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why Christ died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. I was wondering this morning, in closing, I wonder if possibly he has slipped up to your sin-sick, lost soul this morning. And he has asked you to simply, amen, look to me. Look to me, I can save you. I wonder if you're here this morning and he has convinced you that all your sin is gone. He said when the Holy Ghost has come, he would convince you of righteousness. He has convinced you that all your sin's gone. When is the last time, and if it's been a while, when is the last time you cleared you out of spot? And thank God for not taking some of them or part of them, but taking all of them away. And you had you a good time of worship and thanksgiving. Would you stand with us? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Altar's open. You're here lost this morning and need a Savior. He's available. If you're here this morning, maybe three or four of you want to get together and purpose about somebody lost, you know, and you want to bring them to Jesus and ask if he would touch them. Maybe you hadn't cleared your spot in a while, and thank him for wiping the slate clean, taking them all away.